What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host, ready to get down and do this. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I might take calls, I might not. I might just chop up some straight game for the family. But nevertheless, I'm here. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. So don't you go nowhere. And while I'm taking that commercial break, while y'all listening to the commercial, if you're on YouTube, look down in the comment section or the profile section and click on that Patreon, because I'm going to drop some Patreon-worthy game today. Usually when I'm dropping game, YouTube starts demonetizing my videos when the game gets heavy. So I need the family to hit that Patreon link, because the game is going to be real deep tonight. But I digress. But like I said, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't go nowhere.
You still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, all my comic book heads out there, you need to check this out. Check out Brand Comics. That's a hit supernatural comic book brought to you by Antonio Bryce and Image Comics artist Kanan White. This comic book has raised almost $50,000 on Indiegogo already. In the storyline, you have to follow the heroes David and Dawn Craven as they try to stop Lionel Solomon and the mysterious group known as the Covenant from taking over the world. Find Brand in the comic section on Indiegogo or visit ikaripress.com to go directly to the page. That's ikaripress.com. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. What's up, family? If you make music and you're serious about your craft, then you need to go online and visit my friends over at legendarymix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the boards, their expertise is unmatched. Legendarymix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at legendarymix.com and receive a discount link and free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started right now. Visit legendarymix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@legendarymix.com. Download the new album by hip-hop artist Alpha Leo. The album is entitled The Greatest, and it's available on iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. You can get it right now. Alpha Leo actually ran for president in 2016, stomping for reparations, and he's going to be running again in 2020. So get the Alpha Leo's album, The Greatest, right now, iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Mid Slide Live. in concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Must. Also performing special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the funk party, concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest, the APX, at Ticketmaster.com. Go to MinkSlide.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Shonda. Because you're a hoe.
Oh, we're back. Oh, it is you. What's going on, guys? Glad to have y'all tuning in on this late evening. It ain't too late. It's not too late, but we're here. We are here. I'm ready to chop up game. I didn't do the show yesterday because I was traveling. I was filming for Hidden Colors 5. I was actually in Washington, D.C. with the legendary Mr. Dr. Claude Anderson, dropping some of that hot fire. Shout out to my brother Claude Anderson. I got to have him back on the show, by the way, but Brother Claude is dropping so much hot fire, and everybody's dropping so much hot fire in Hidden Colors 5, and that's going to be available next year. We're working on that, and I hope everybody has their tickets. Speaking of working on a project, hope y'all got your tickets to come join us in Atlanta for the one and only Mink Slide concert. Tariq Nasheed and Mink Slide, you guys are going to witness history. You guys are going to witness a rare event. Because we're not going to do too many live performances. I have too much stuff to do, but I'm doing this one for the family. So I want everybody to go to MinkSlide.com to get your tickets to join me and the group Mink Slide in Atlanta at Center Stage Theater, December 22nd. We're going to rock out with the cock out, us and the APX. Come on down, bring your family, enjoy the music. We're going to have a very good time, family. You got yours. I see people in the chat room saying they got theirs. Much respect to that. All right, there's a lot of stuff that we got to touch on. And by the way, I'm bumping some Mink Slide in the background. That's my Desire instrumental. If you got Spotify or Tidal, y'all need to stream that, bump that. But a lot of stuff we're going to touch on tonight's program. First thing I want to touch on is D.C. I was in D.C., like I said. Where are my DC people in the chat room? Do I have any DC people in the chat room? I got to ask something about DC. I was only in DC for like a day. And I love DC. I got a lot of love for DC. DC shows a lot of love to me. A lot of respect, a lot of support out of DC whenever we do movies. It sells out very quickly in DC whenever I do live events. They come and represent heavy in D.C. Shout out to D.C. I got a lot of love for D.C. But what's up with some of y'all hood rats out there, family? What's up with some of these? I won't call them hood rats, but shit. Family, what's going on with some of these women out here in D.C., man? I interacted with a few people while I was there in D.C. I was staying downtown. I was staying downtown D.C. There's a lot of moisture. Yes, that's another thing. There's a lot, you know, people got their lifestyles. I'm not knocking your lifestyle. You can do whatever you do. But I got to touch on these women. Man, some of these women in D.C. that I interacted with, and I mean interact, meaning people that worked at the hotel or people who worked in the service industry. My God, these weren't no boule ones. No. I didn't interact with none of the boule ones. I just worked with people, regular folks who worked in the service industry. Boy, they just seem kind of off out there in D.C. It's like a cloud of confusion. They seem extra confused for some reason out there. And this is just my interaction with a handful of people. And I know they're not representative of all the people out there. But I'm telling you, it was real. It was just a level of confusion that just wouldn't stop. First, I'm at the hotel. I get up in the morning and I wanted to order room service. So I called down to the front desk. The sister answered the phone. Hello, front desk. Hilton. I said, all right, do you guys have room service? Do we have room service? I said, yeah. Do you have room service? You want somebody to service your room? I said, ma'am, no. Do you have room service like y'all serve food? Oh, you want somebody to bring food to your room? Yeah. Oh, we don't have that room service. Okay. That was weird. I'm like, okay, what the fuck? That was very weird. How don't you know what room service is? Whatever. So let me order Postmates. So let me order some breakfast, some coffee from Postmates. So I ordered Postmates to come to the room to deliver some coffee. And Starbucks is right across the street from my hotel. So I just didn't, I'm trying to get ready because I got the camera crew coming. So now I'm waiting on the Postmates and I just ordered a coffee and like a donut, just something real simple, not like a muffin, just something real simple. And the Postmate chick, after like 45 minutes, she texts me, they ain't got no muffin. You want something else? I'm like, yeah, just give me a croissant. And I never heard back. So the Postmate chick took forever to get to my spot. And I'm like literally across the street from where she picked the food up at. I'm literally across the street. It took her 45 minutes to get to my hotel from across the street. I'm looking at the map on Postmates. I mean, she's going everywhere. I'm like, where in the fuck is she going? She's literally going all around D.C. You know, D.C. got a bunch of crazy streets. She's all at the goddamn African-American History Museum. She's at the Capitol Building. She's at the Pentagon. I'm like, where in the fuck is she going? So she finally called me downstairs. I'm her. I said, can you bring the food up? So she bring the food up. She knocked on the door. They didn't have no pastries. And I saw your text. It was too late. I said, God damn. Okay. All right. Then she gave me my Frappuccino. And didn't give me a straw. I said, sister, where's the straw? Oh, they didn't put a straw in a bag. I said, God damn. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm there with no food and a Frappuccino that I can't drink because there's no straw. So I go downstairs. I put on some shorts and my shoes, and I go downstairs. I got to walk over to the Starbucks across the street. It's cold in a month. That D.C. weather is real funny. The day before was kind of warm. Now it's chilly as hell. I'm like, oh, shit. So I go over here to Starbucks to get a straw. And I'm like, while I'm here, let me get one of those turkey bacon egg white sandwiches. So there's another sister working at Starbucks. She acting confused. I said, hey, sister, how you doing? Let me get the turkey bacon with egg white sandwich. You want a turkey bacon and an egg white? I said, no, ma'am. I want the turkey bacon with egg white sandwich. So you want both of them? No, I want this. I'm pointing at what I want. I'm pointing at it. I want this. It's called a turkey bacon egg white sandwich. Oh, okay. And I said, can I get a pumpkin loaf? And there's a bunch of pumpkin loaves there, and I'm pointing at it. We ain't got no pumpkin loaf. I said, ma'am, I'm looking right at the goddamn pumpkin. I'm looking at it. There's a bunch of them. I'm looking at them. We out of them. No, you're not, ma'am. I'm looking. I'm like, am I in the fucking Twilight Zone? A nigga's punking me right now. And I love D.C. I love y'all. I really love y'all in D.C., but I swear to God, they were acting, it was like a bunch of Sarahs out there. And she's from D.C., by the way. Everybody was acting like Sarah. People are like, you sound like, that's how they were sounding. They were just sounding just completely out of it and high and just gone. I'm like, ma'am, is she? The chick almost got an attitude with me. We ain't got no pumpkin loaf. I said, sister, there's a bunch of them right here. I swear I'm looking at them. We out of them. I said, all right, just give me my goddamn straw and my egg white sandwich, and I'm going to get the hell on up out of here. Shit. Oh, my God, D.C., I love you, D.C. I love you, I love you, I love you, D.C., but God damn, why all the confused hood rats out there? That kind of scared me. I'm like, God damn, motherfuckers can't be this confused going through life out here. My God. Anyway, I digress, family. But I'm not shitting on D.C. I got a lot of love for D.C. I swear I do. But I don't know what that was. I do not know what that was, family. You dig? But anywho, other stuff I want to talk about. You know, Caitlyn Jenner, you know, the Kardashian dad slash tranny. I don't know what the hell to call him. Is dad slash mom slash, he's not the mom. He's not the, is he don't want to be called a dad. What do you call him? What the hell do you call him? So Caitlyn Jenner, AKA Bruce Jenner, he put out an op-ed. I think it's in the Washington Post, one of those publications. He did an op-ed talking about he made a mistake supporting Trump. He regrets supporting Trump because Trump hasn't been good to the trans community and the LGBT community. And I'm saying that Caitlyn Jenner is so full of shit, it's ridiculous. Caitlyn Jenner is full of shit. All these people who sit up and talk about, oh, I regret voting for Trump. All these like white Latinos who voted for Trump and then their relatives got deported. And oh, I made a mistake. They're so full of shit. They're so full of shit, family. Caitlyn Jenner can miss me with all of that. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, like Neely Fuller said, the white supremacists love playing both sides of the argument. Caitlyn Jenner ain't sorry for shit. Let me say this. I want y'all to be very clear. Caitlyn Jenner ain't sorry for nothing. Caitlyn Jenner didn't make no mistake. Donald Trump never made any promises to the LGB community. He never really made any promises to them. Many people in the LGBT community supported Trump. They had gays for Trump. You had Milo. You had a lot of prominent people in the white gay community who had no problem supporting him. Y'all saw that video of that Uber driver and you had that moist Latino, that gay dude in there talking shit to that brother, and he was talking about how much, the Latino dude was talking about how much he's a Trump supporter. They had no problem supporting Trump. And I want black people to understand this. Caitlyn Jenner did not make a mistake. All this fake ass, oh, I'm sorry, this fake remorse. They're running game. If Trump runs again, which he probably will if he doesn't get impeached or whatever, Caitlyn Jenner is going to vote for him again. Don't get it twisted. Because understand, Caitlyn Jenner and others, they vote for their race before they vote for their sexuality. He's voting race first. Sexuality comes second. These people are not dumb. Don't ever fall for that. See, black folks, we get this shit twisted. We start latching on to all these movements. Negroes think if you start claiming LGBT, somehow that's going to trump your blackness and make the white supremacists trump their whiteness. That's not going to happen. There's a lot of people in white gay society who had no problem supporting Trump. The same way you saw all those Latinos, especially down in Florida, all of them supporting Trump. All these Texas Latinos supporting Trump and then crying foul when their relatives get deported. They're like, well, shit, I'm here. Oh, well. Oh, well. And black folks, we're the ones sitting out here trying to get knots and bruises on our heads for immigrants and all that old shit when these Latinos here They're the ones who helped put Trump in office. And you Negroes out here with your goddamn cape on, not understanding that these people are always going to vote in the best interest of their race. We're the only folks who don't do that. We're so ass backwards, it's ridiculous. That's why when I asked earlier, I asked people on Twitter, black folks, I said, black people, what are you voting for? As a black person, what are you voting for? Nobody could give a real answer that was specific to black folks. Not one person. They were like, well, I'm voting for lower taxes. I'm a vote for, you know, jobs. These old cliche ass trickle down subjects that really is not specific to black people. Black folks don't know what they're voting for. You don't have an agenda. You scared to speak up for other black people. You scared to speak up for black people as a whole. You're scared to say, hey, we need a black agenda, and the black agenda should be this. And this is why we lose. Niggas just voting just to be voting. Niggas on that voting because my grandmama voted. My great-granddaddy fought for the right to vote. Negroes don't have a clear idea of why they're voting. You're just voting so that hopefully some shit will trickle down to you. And that's a wasted vote. If you're going to vote like that, you're just voting for nothing. You're just propping everybody else up over you. I want to vote because I don't want Trump and them to win. I want to vote because I don't want the alt-right. Black folks understand this. There are more killings of black people by these race soldiers under Obama than anybody else. I want y'all to understand that when black people voted the most black people voted in the history of this country was for Obama. Black people came out in droves and voted and didn't get shit. We got killed the most under Obama because we didn't come to the table with no agenda. You can't vote your way out of oppression unless you have an agenda, unless you're controlling the politicians. I ain't voting for a motherfucker just because they sitting up there skinning and grinning and talking some fly shit, but not no solutions. My thing, the first thing black folks should be looking at, who's going to punish these race soldiers? That's the main thing we should be looking at. Who's going to punish these race soldiers? We ain't talking about no reform, training them, taking them down to the black museum to teach them how to love Negroes. No. Who's putting their asses in jail for killing us off rip? The minute they kill us, you go to jail off rip. See, we got to start getting our money game together, and then we can get our agenda game together. But the problem is, in black society, the problem is there's a lot of self-hatred, and we have a lot of enemies within. And that's something that we got to deal with. We got a lot of enemies within. And that's something that we have to tackle. Because I was talking to Dr. Claude Anderson about, you know, we're talking about Hidden Colors 5, and we're talking about different rebellions that has happened in this country. And every time black people try to rise up and bring justice, it was always thwarted by ass-licking coons and bedwinches. Understand this, family. White supremacy is powerful, but it's not powerful. I'm going to say that again. I want that to sink in. White supremacy is powerful, but it's not powerful. Now, what do you mean by that, Tariq? White supremacy is powerful because it dominates all areas of activity, with the white supremacists being on code. They get their power from their code. That's their code. They get a power. They get their power from being on code. That's the only way they get their power, from all of them being on code. But the thing is, once you understand their code and you get on code, they're easily defeated. When black people get on code, the white supremacists are easily defeated. So the problem is, when we start chipping away at the power of the white supremacists, we have enemies within black society undermining us. That's our Achilles heel there. When we're destroying the white supremacists and bringing justice, it's these ass-licking coons and bedwinches undermining black society. And when you look at history, every time we fail, there is always, 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 always Negroes within black society who's undermining other people in black society. If it weren't for those Negroes, white supremacy would have been defeated hundreds of years ago. And when we look at history, the black people or the black resurrections that were semi-successful, you notice one thing. They always had a way to deal with the coons. When you look at history, the rebellions that were semi-successful, they dealt with the goddamn coons. Look at the Haitian Revolution. We always talk about that, how Mackendall poisoned the coons before he poisoned the white supremacists. They dealt with them damn coons in Haiti and got them out the mix. Let's look at South Africa, how they helped get rid of apartheid. They make you think that it was some kumbaya shit, but no, you had sisters like Winnie Mandela putting them tires around them coons' necks, setting them on fire. She was ordering them coons to be executed. Do you understand me? They were letting them coons know that you're going to get that necklace. You fuck around and start snitching. Do you understand that? Even look at Harriet Tubman. You saw how successful Harriet Tubman was. Harriet Tubman was very successful with the Underground Railroad, bringing people to freedom, because Harriet Tubman had that pistol. She was known for having a pistol. And people thought that that pistol was for the white slave catchers. She said, no, this pistol's for these niggas who thinking about going back. Because when Harriet Tubman was bringing people to freedom, you had a couple of Negroes saying, oh, Lord, this is too much. I just want to go back. Like, I'll blow your fucking brains out if you think about going back. Harriet Tubman was going to blow the brains out them coons, because she knew if them niggas went back, they would have told. She knew the minute them niggas got back, everything would have been thwarted. They would have told everything. So she told them weak niggas, nah, either you keep going or I'll blow your head off right now. See, the coons and the bedwinches have not been dealt with in black society. We let coons and bedwinches, not only do we let them run amok, we let them run and control certain sectors of black society. It's beyond just run amok. We let them run shit. The Root and Ebony, we let bedwinches and coons actually speak for black society. So we got bedwinching is cool now. Bedwinching and cooning is the norm now. Do you understand? And the white supremacists, they know how to deal with the people and other groups. They know how to deal with folks who do things or make moves that tarnish or hurt their group. And they know how to get on code. And they know how to protect those in their group, too. They're not going to let people in their group fall off too hard. Like, look at all these white dudes now who've been accused of sexual improprieties. Look how they're being saved. Look how Harvey Weinstein is being saved. Look at people like Louis C.K. I think that's his name. Louis C.K. I think that's his name. The comedian who these women said who was jacking off in front of him. He's masturbating, just real freaky. So he lost a lot of deals and television shows because women are coming out talking about he's doing this freaky shit like masturbating in front of him. And he didn't deny it. He actually admitted it. Brett Kavanaugh, he done shit to women and they didn't let him be in the Supreme Court. But let's go back to Louis C.K. Louis C.K., he was accused of all that stuff, and you had women like Sarah Silverman coming out saving him. She was like, yeah, he masturbated in front of me with my consent, so she's throwing him a bone, saving him. You see, nobody did that for Cosby. Nobody said, hey, these women are lying. Niggas was scared to speak up for Cosby. Niggas believe everything that white mommy and white daddy say. And when it comes to locking them up and criminalizing them, they all get on cold against you. You dig? So we got to understand the game. And we got to stop being chicken shit and scared to speak truth to power. But the thing is, they get on cold with each other when some of them slip off. And again, like we always say, the white supremacists, they don't get fired, they get transferred. Y'all saw what happened with Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly was on her show on NBC. And remember, they brought Megyn Kelly over from Fox. Megyn Kelly has had years of experience talking racist bullshit on Fox. Megyn Kelly has talked shit about me on Fox News. She has done her show and put up tweets that I've made, among other people at Fox. They always finding some of my tweets and doing segments on my tweets and trying to demonize me. And she was one of them. She did a segment trying to throw me under the bus on Fox News. So she has a long history of doing racist shit, saying little slick stuff on Fox News. So they brought her over to NBC, gave her a lot of money. You had Al Roker, Tamron Hall, all these people on that show, and they were top rated. Nothing was wrong with the ratings, so they brought her over there, gave her double the money that they gave the black people, who were number one. They wanted some of that white supremacist audience too. And her ratings were garbage. She did this big special show with Alex Jones that flopped. So she was on there the other day. They were talking about somebody doing blackface, and Megyn Kelly was trying to minimize blackface. She was trying to justify blackface. Oh, there's nothing wrong with blackface. Somebody had dressed up like Diana Ross and darkened their skin. So Megyn Kelly was trying to justify somebody wearing blackface. And you know, blackface has been used to demonize black people. You know, so people got in her ass about it. They clowned her, and you know, her agent, CAA, they dropped her, but then she was immediately picked up by another agent. So, you know, they don't get fired, they get transferred. And she got on TV explaining. I want to see if I can play her apology. Hold on, let me play her apology. Let me find it. Hold on one second. Let me watch out for this commercial. Oops, whoop, I'm fucking up over here. Hold on. I don't want to play that. Hold on. I'm fucking up, y'all. I'm going to play her apology. Y'all bear with me one second. Let me let this commercial pass. And this is her. Hopefully, this is not a bait and switch video, but this is her apology on the NBC show a couple of days after the controversy. Hold on. Let me see what they do here.
For defending blackface. And then tearfully delivering that apology. She was off the air today, her show a rerun. And tonight, the network's highest paid anchor is reportedly fighting back. Here's ABC's Lindsay Davis.
Okay, let me play the...
Tonight...
Hold on.
She made her skin look darker than it really is, and people said that that was racist. And I don't know, I felt like, who doesn't love Diana Ross?
Kelly made a tearful apology.
I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry.
And now Kelly is reportedly...
Please. And what's funny, when she made her little fake-ass apology, there was a bunch of mammies. They had the audience full of mammies. The audience full of mammies clapping and cheering for. Hold on. I want to see if I could find that. That's what I really wanted to play. I wanted to play all those Bunny Ruckus mammies. Hold on. Let me see if this is it. Hold on.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Megyn Kelly, and I want to begin with two words. I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another.
Oh, they had Roland Martin up there, too. I can't find it. I see him up there, but he was up there too. This is wrong. I don't know what Roland was doing, but he was up there. Hold on.
A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker to make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry.
Please.
One of the great parts of sitting in this chair each day is getting to discuss different points of view. Sometimes I talk and sometimes I listen.
Oh, God.
And yesterday I learned.
Can't y'all just smell the fakeness?
The history of blackface being used in awful ways by racists in this country.
Like yourself.
It is not okay for that to be part of any costume, Halloween or otherwise.
Oh, please.
I have never been a PC kind of person.
I know that.
But I do understand the value in being sensitive to our history, particularly on race and ethnicity. This past year has been so painful for many people of color. The country feels so divided. And I have no wish to add to that pain and offense. I believe this is a time for more understanding, more love.
They're so fake. The white supremacists always acting like they don't know they done some shit racist. I didn't know. This long history, I've never been PC. Woman, you've built your career off anti-black hatred over at Fox News. You built your career off of it. Megan, come on.
Of more sensitivity and honor. And I want to be part of that. Thank you for listening and for helping me listen to.
And there's an audience full of mammies. They went and found every Negro they could find, y'all. There's a bunch. That audience looked like the Apollo. It's niggas all over the place now. They offer them niggas some buffalo wings. Audience full of negresses. Fuck out of here. Oh, Lord. They didn't have all those Negroes up there when they were talking greasy with the blackface shit. They must have had free butter biscuits and coffee cake. These old forgiving Christian Negroes. They look like they went to somebody's church and just got every Negro they could find. My God. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But like I said, we got a lot of enemies within, family. We got a lot of enemies within, and we got to do something about the enemies within, because these enemies within, they're aligning themselves with these white supremacists. Understand, and black folks have to understand this. Just because you see a white supremacist have some kind of sexual relations with a black person, don't think that that person is any less racist. One part of white supremacy is sexual domination. It comes from white women dominating black men. And we talk about that from shows like 90 Day Fiancé, where you have that big fat white Trump supporter going over there to Nigeria, vetting this brother, turning him into a coon. This brother Michael over there in Nigeria, and this brother, I wish he'd reach out to me so I can teach him some game on how to finesse. This nigga don't know how to finesse for nothing. This nigga's game is so rusty. He's so game weak. He don't know how to finesse this clown ass chick. Angela, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I did not take your money. I mean, nigga, you better step your pimping up if you're trying to get the bag. But I digress. But, you know, you got these white supremacist women. They'll try to sexually dominate black men and still get out that bed and practice white supremacy. And you have white men. And one of the things that these white supremacists are doing now, you have hardcore white supremacists because their numbers are dwindling. These white supremacists are very aware that they're dying off. Their numbers are dwindling and they have to procreate, but they also have to maintain white supremacy. So how they can knock two birds out with one stone. A lot of these white supremacists are not only just getting with non-white women. They're getting with straight up black women. Black women are openly dating white extremist, and this is very common now. I'm talking about Klan, skinhead, neo-Nazi. This is a thing now. These white supremacists, they play the long game. They understand by having children by these Negro bedwinches, these filthy, disgusting Negro bedwinches who don't represent black women or black society whatsoever. Because that's another thing. When you call these Negro bedwinches out, they love to try to jump behind all black women. Oh, you don't like black women if you talk about me. You rusty, dusty, funky hood rats don't represent black women, you pieces of trash. If you are a black person dating a known white supremacist, you are human garbage. Because you know what this person is about. You know that this person is going to harm other black people. You know that this person will potentially harm your children. And these people are totally fine with that just so they can get some butter biscuits. And one of these dudes, one of the Proud Boys, which is an open white supremacist organization who goes around assaulting people, especially black folks and other white people who oppose white supremacy. These are white supremacist terrorists. And one guy, they were up there in New York, terrorizing people in New York. And one of the white supremacists from the Proud Boys got arrested. He's about to get a slap on the wrist. But the thing is, his name is John Kinsman. And he has a black wife and a black kid. This dude has a straight up Negro bedwench wife and a black kid. And we're seeing this theme very commonly. There was some other bedwench I was arguing with on Twitter today. Her name is Shakira Soul or something like that. That's not her real name. She's supposed to be a publicist, but she's known for finessing folks out of money. And this chick was adopted by a white family when she was a kid. So she has a baby by a white supremacist, and she's on her Twitter bigging up the Proud Boys. So we have open enemies, black folks, who have just openly declared war on black society. They have sided with the enemy, family. It used to be subtle bedwinching. Now it's just open. They're just openly getting down now because the jig is up. We've been calling these bedwinches out so long, they can't hide no more. And the fact that they can't hide no more, they're like, well, fuck it then. All right, I love me a white supremacist daddy. I love him. Fuck all y'all niggas. So this is why the bedwinches are getting very bold now, because the jig is up. Usually they could try to hide behind, oh, I'm a black feminist. I work for The Root. I work for Ebony. Now that we're calling them out, they're like, well, fuck it. The jig is up. I might as well tell the truth. Yeah, I love me a white zaddy, and I hope all y'all niggas die. You dig? And remember, last week I told everybody about this white supremacist manual, FM6-2003, where they're talking about targeting black people for ethnic cleansing. And I talked about some of the strategies and techniques that they were going to use. In page 76 of that manual, they talk about how to target black politicians, how to target white politicians who support liberal causes that help black folks. This was written back in 2003. And again, this is another variation of the Turner Diaries that was written in the 1970s. But I specifically last week, on my last week's broadcast, talked about that FM6-2003 document. And sure enough, no sooner as I talked about that this week, they carried out some of the exact same things in that book. To the letter. They carried the shit out to the letter. A couple of days ago, on one day, there were several bombs sent to quote unquote liberal politicians all over the country. First, there was a bomb sent to George Soros. Now, George Soros, he's accused by a lot of white supremacists as orchestrating attacks against white society by using blacks. See, that's the thing in the white supremacist circles, that the Jews are attacking them by using blacks. So that's why they always throw up that George Soros and Black Lives Matter. George Soros is funding the protesters. That's some white supremacist bullshit that they like to, that Alex Jones type stuff. So they sent bombs to the Clintons. They sent bombs to Obama. They sent bombs to Eric Holder. And I warned people again about a week or so ago when they were attacking Eric Holder, when Eric Holder said, when they go low, we don't go high. When they go low, we kick them. And then all the white supremacists jumped on that. They were like, hey, Eric Holder's trying to incite violence. And I tweeted, I said, black people, y'all better be on the lookout because these white supremacists are trying to use that Eric Holder comment to justify doing random attacks on innocent black people. So the same day they shipped all these bombs everywhere, they shipped a bomb to Maxine Waters. They sent a couple of them to her. The same day they did all this stuff where they were sending bombs all over the place. And another thing about them sending those bombs, the people, a part of that, they have to be working with law enforcement. There's no way they could send those explosive items all over the country without some type of assistance from law enforcement. So let's be very clear. We already know that some of these white supremacist organizations, like the Proud Boys and others, they have infiltrated law enforcement. So you got, they got moles within law enforcement helping them. And today, Robert De Niro, they sent some shit to his house. Remember, you know, De Niro has a black wife. That goes back to the Turner Diaries. That goes back to FM6 2003. People in interracial relationships are going to be targeted. Remember, they did a test run in Texas a few months ago. Remember when they were sending bombs to black people down there in Texas and blowing them up? That was a test run. That was a test run. So they've been practicing on doing this. But again, the same day they sent those bombs to all those politicians, over in Kentucky, a white supremacist walked into a Kroger store. His name is Gregory Allen Bush, and he shot two random black people. One of them might not have been so random. It was one elderly black woman, Vicky Jones, RIP to her. It was another black man, an elderly black man, named Maurice Stollard. And he's the father of a politician out there in Louisville, Kentucky. She's the politician. She's the head of the racial equality division under the mayor's office. So he might have been targeted by this white supremacist. And this Gregory Allen Bush, you know, they arrested him for shooting these people. Now, during the shooting, a white man who was armed walked up to him and he was like, hey, you know, you better put that gun down. And Gregory Allen Bush said to the other white man, he said, look, if you don't shoot me, I won't shoot you. Whites don't kill each other. This is what witnesses said. So this guy was on a white supremacist code. So this was 100% racial. This was 100% racial. So they arrest this guy. And, you know, I do a lot of background work on him because the, first of all, the media and law enforcement, they were not trying to release the names. Do you know the reason they got the names out is because I put them out. I was the very first person to release the names of those victims, first of all, because some of the relatives knew me. And they told me I was the first person to put the names of the relatives out. The mainstream media was not going to do that. They were trying to hide the fact that they were black. The mainstream media was going out of their way to downplay the fact that this was a racial attack. This is why we have to take control of the media narrative. This is why we have to take control of the media narrative, family. It's up to us to do this. I was the one who released the brother's name. I was the one who released the victim's photos. Nobody had photos of them. I had all that. I put that out first. And I also found some more information. I kept digging into the white supremacist killer's background, and I kept showing the racial motive because the police and the media, do you know they're still acting dumb about it, acting like they don't know what the motive is? I had all types of receipts on this dude. I went through some of his old posts where he's making all types of racial comments about black folks. He's one of those I stand for the flag guys. So he's a hardcore white supremacist conservative. And this is the kicker right here, family. This dude was married to a black woman. He was married to a black woman and he has a black son. And I put that out there. Also, we showed documents where this man has a history of criminal activity, a history of racism. He has a history of beating his black wife's ass. They're divorced now. They've been divorced for a few decades. Well, since 2000. I think they divorced around 2000, 2001. But he had a history of whooping her ass. I had the documents. According to the documents, let me quote, the defendant, Gregory Allen Bush, had a history of physical and emotional abuse of his ex-wife, and he repeatedly referred to her as a nigger bitch. That is not me talking. Those are the court documents talking. That man had a history, according to the court documents, of whooping his black wife's ass and calling her all types of nigger bitches. And they have the word nigger bitch in the court documents. I told y'all about that nigger bitch shit a long time ago. They always do that. When they y'all get with these zaddies, the minute you do something they don't like, you become a nigger bitch. And I'm trying to see who she was for sitting up here marrying that fool. So this guy has a long history of having white supremacist agendas. And y'all sitting up here that desperate for a damn zaddy? Is it really that bad for y'all to get a zaddy? Y'all got these terrorists out here doing all this shit to you and your families? And what's interesting, because we put so much information out, and I put so much information out about the guy that the mainstream media tried to suppress. We kept showing the racial motive. We showed the victims. Some of the mainstream media outlets, they start taking little digs at me. Look up The Inquisitor. That's one of these mainstream media outlets. And they wrote an article about the story because once we start putting out all the facts, our shit starts going viral. When I start putting out the facts, people are going to gravitate towards the facts. So my shit starts going viral. So now other mainstream media outlets, they're forced to acknowledge it now. They're going to look like they're falling behind. So they have to follow our lead. You understand this? And The Inquisitor, you know, they pride themselves on being investigative journalists and all that. See, they don't like when we take initiative and start putting out the narratives on our own. The Inquisitor wrote this thing and they low-key took a jab at me. They were like, and the writer is a white guy named Aaron Homer. He said, deadly shooting at Kentucky Kroger may have been racially motivated. See, they still caping. They're still trying to be on this white supremacist code. See, black people, we can't wait on them to tell us what the deal is. These white supremacists are on code. So they're still up here talking about it may or it might be racially motivated now that we put it out that it is. So the article says a deadly shooting at a Louisville Kroger grocery store may have been racially motivated, with a white man allegedly murdering two African-American people and talking about race while exchanging gunfire with a bystander. Now, based on this fool's own sentence, why is there a question that is racially motivated? Why is there a question anymore? Based on this dude's own statement, why is it even questionable that it's about race? He shot two random black people, skipped over the white people, told a white man whites don't shoot each other, and now you still confuse if it's about race? Because this is clearly a hate crime, but they're not charging this guy with a hate crime. This is clearly a hate crime. And let me read the rest. It says, at some point during this crime, a bystander exchanged gunfire with the gunman, later identified as 51-year-old Gregory Allen Bush, who is white. During the exchange, Bush allegedly mentioned race. Again, why is this questionable at this point? Now, look at this line. He says, as of this writing, police have not identified the victims, or any possible motive. However, self-described anti-racism strategist Tariq Nasheed posted on Twitter a photo of an African-American woman who he claims is a victim of the shooting. Let me pause. That is a victim. Y'all just mad because I got it first and I posted it. She is a victim. That's Vicky Jones. That is one of the victims. And Maurice Starlet is the other victim. Then he goes on to say, he posted a picture of an African-American woman who claims is a victim of the shooting. He also claims Bush is a white supremacist, quote unquote. It's unclear how or why Tariq Nasheed claims to know that this woman was one of the victims or that Bush is supposedly a white supremacist. Well, I know based on the dude's record, I know based on the dude's history, I know based on the dude's court records of him calling his ex-wife a nigger bitch, that kind of makes you a white supremacist right there, guys. Also, the fact that you got two dead black people sitting up here, that kind of makes you a white supremacist when you skip over all the white folks and just go kill two random black folks. It's called research. That's how I know. When this man has had a whole history of getting online, making racial comments, derogatory racial comments, his whole timeline is flooded full of racially derogatory comments about black folks. So that's how I know. The hell are you talking about? These white supremacists, the name of the game with them is denial, denial, denial. No matter what you see, no, they can sit up and call people niggas all day. They can kill black folks and they're like, well, damn, I don't know what the motive is. Well, how do we know he's a white supremacist? Just because he just went and killed two black folks and he sits online and talks shit about black people all day and threatens to kill black people. Well, that doesn't mean he's a white supremacist. That just means he's mentally ill. Because that's the level, that's the thing they're trying to play now. They're trying to play that whole mentally ill angle. Because see, they don't want us to wake up and be on code. They don't want to say themselves that, hey, you black people are being attacked, which is what the deal is, because they don't want y'all getting on code. This is why y'all got to stop listening to white mommy and white damn daddy all the time. Y'all got to stop listening to white mommy and white daddy. They're not going to tell you what you need to do to get on code and empower yourself. And also what we got to do, man, and this goes back to that mentoring thing. I really need to start mentoring, and we need to have men and women mentoring boys and girls. Because I know that that white supremacist organization, Turning Points USA, they had some kind of youth thing where they got a bunch of black kids and they're trying to indoctrinate them. And I know some of the kids. They hit me up, and some of these kids got conservative, quote unquote, parents that send them to these things. So they're trying to get at our children young. And what they do, and this is something that black folks have to peep out, they know how to use images of adults that children want to be like, especially little girls. One thing they do, notice the white supremacists will fund people like Candace Owens. And they'll fund Candace Owens because Candace Owens can recruit younger girls. Because the thing about Candace Owens, no matter what you think about her, she's a bedwinch coon mammy, of course. But one thing about Candace Owens is an attractive sister. Candace Owens is a cute sister, even though she's a fucking moron, bedwinch. And she's finessing some of those white supremacists, but she's still doing it for her own gain. But the thing about Candace Owens, she's an attractive sister. And little girls, they instinctively look for women and they seek out women who are attractive. So they want to be like them because beauty is valued in girls. So they look for a woman who's attractive. And an attractive woman, they'll listen to what they have to say. They'll follow what they do. Even if they are not that bright, they'll follow them. But if there's an attractive woman who's saying something articulate, little girls will follow them. So they get attractive sisters like Candace Owens to kind of recruit a new generation of bedwinches. See, this is why we need young, attractive, woke sisters. when you look around, you don't see too many young, really attractive, articulate, woke sisters. They're older, and a lot of young girls might not be able to relate to them. But when you think about it, you don't see really too many young, articulate, woke sisters who, when I mean articulate, somebody who can really break that game down, who can do a lecture, who can do a speech and really break the game down, who could break it down like a Dr. Wilson can break the game down, or like a Queen of Four. You know, these women are older. These women are much, much older. So you don't have young women who can really break that shit down. This is why, again, they get attractive women like, you know, Stacey Dash, even though Stacey's the moron. That's why they got a Stacey Dash, and they would get the Candace Owens and women like that to talk all that coon shit to recruit the young girl. Somebody said Angela Rye. Angela Rye has a lot of stud energy. So a lot of girls will see Angela Rye, and her energy is like, eh. You dig? That's that Boulay crowd. A lot of young girls don't really want to be like her because her energy, Candace Owens has a softer energy. You understand what I'm saying? Candace Owens has a softer energy. Even though she's a moron, she has a softer energy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't have a lot of young, attractive sisters who can articulate a lot of stuff that's happening on a woke level. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, the Angela Rye, her energy is a little masculine. Her energy is she has kind of a masculine energy. You have Michelle Alexander. She's an older sister. She's not that old, but she's older. She's like late 40s, early 50s, I think. So a lot of young girls may or may not be able to relate to her. Candace Owens is pretty young. Candace Owens is like, what, 30-something? If that. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. And Angela Rye don't really go hard. You know, Angela Rye, she says a few things, but she's with that whole Boulé crowd. You understand? But that's what we need. We need some young sisters who can spit that. We need some young sisters who can really spit that hot fire, that woke fire that a lot of young girls can relate to. Remember, I was asking for, like when we're starting to do HC5, I kept asking people, who are the young sisters who can really spit that fly shit? We're looking for some new sisters who can spit. And there are not too many. You just don't have too many. You don't have too many. So a lot of young girls, they want to look up to somebody who's kind of attractive, who's spitting. You dig? So y'all naming people who are not young. Y'all niggas are naming people who are like damn near in their 40s and shit. Y'all naming people who are not young. You dig? So that's what we need. We need some young women out here in their 20s who's hella woke. The thing is, you know, when you have a young girl, when they see a sister in her 20s, when they see other young sisters, especially on TV, what do they see? They see Love and Hip Hop. They see some of the attractive sisters out there twerking and fighting. You dig? They see that. They see ratchetness. They don't see anybody really spitting unless they're older. So that's what we need to do. We need to find some young sisters who are woke, who can spit that and articulate the game. Because, see, what we'll have is what we saw on Dr. Phil. Now, everybody's been talking about this episode on Dr. Phil. They had this 16-year-old girl named Treasure, and she was on Dr. Phil with her mom. Her mom's name is Monique. And this Treasure girl was talking some of the most asinine, coon, Mammy Bedouin shit. And let me play a clip of this girl talking this crazy nonsense on Dr. Phil. And I know some of y'all have seen this before, but let me play it. Let me play the audio. Hold on one second. This is
When Treasure was 5 years old,
try to tell me I'm an African American, but that's not true. African Americans are loud, rude, obnoxious, and just altogether fat and ugly.
If you ask me, my 16-year-old daughter has a very out-of-control identity crisis. She truly believes she's white. When Treasure was 5 years old, I've noticed Treasure was having issues with her race. She wouldn't play with the black children. Treasure would mangle or destroy her black dolls. She would cut their heads off, pull off their arms. She would pretend that they were the white doll's slaves.
Now that was weird right there. The girl is beating up on the black dolls. You know, that's kind of heavy. You know, snatching the heads off. And like we said earlier, this sounds like somebody who's going to grow up to work for the Root.
My mom bought me beautiful white dolls instead of buying me the ugly, big-lipped black doll.
I felt mortified. I was a single mom trying to support a family. We couldn't afford to stay in our beautiful home. We moved from a mostly white, affluent neighborhood to the city, which was mostly African-American.
I want y'all to remember what she just said right there. They had to move from their white neighborhood to the city, which is African American. Remember that. Put that in your back pocket.
From the suburbs to the hood. I was not anything like other black people. They were all hood rats and they were all ghetto. They all act like.
Okay, so that's pretty much it as far as that. And this girl is, you know, she's 16 years old. She was talking about her hair is straight. And let me see if I can find a longer clip of it. Hold on. And her little teeth are kind of janky. Her mama never got her teeth fixed. I guess they didn't have no money to get her braces. And I'm not trying to clown this girl. But, you know, her teeth were janky. And people probably were clowning her teeth when she was a kid. But let me find... Hold on one second. Let me find the whole clip. Oh, I hate bait clicking. I hate y'all bait clicking. Shit. Ah. Bait clicking. I hate bait clicking. Let me see. Okay, let me see if this is it. Hold on.
Let me tell you, if you want to identify with...
Okay, I want the beginning part. And I hate YouTube with all these bait clicking Negroes and... when I'm looking for a video and I can't find it because it's a million clickbait video.
Hi, did y'all see Dr. Phil with that girl on there?
Oh, shut up. Oh, my God. Okay, hold on. Okay, let me see if this is it. Hold on. Hold on, y'all. Bear with me. Let me let the commercial play. Let me let this thing play. And hopefully this is a longer clip because I want to catch some of the other stuff this girl was talking about. She was talking about how her hair is straight and she clearly did a half-ass flat iron on her shit, so hold on.
With my beliefs. I'm white. I'm a Caucasian because everything about me is different from an African-American. I have naturally straight hair. My hair isn't...
Okay, well, she can't be that damn delusional. This girl, she put a bunch of sulfur-8 in her hair. She tried to flat iron it herself and it looked a damn mess.
Nappy. It doesn't require weave. My nose is not giant. It's like African Americans. My lips are perfect. They're not too big and they're not too small. They're just perfect. My ears, I don't have black people ears because they're really giant. Most African Americans speak ghetto. But when it comes to black people, I think they're all ugly and I have nothing in common with them. I'm different from African Americans because I'm white. My figure is just like Kim Kardashian and she's a wonderful role model. I act and I think like a white person instead of a black person. I believe that I'm completely and utterly better than them. Like, we're on two different levels. Like, okay, African
American. And by the way, if y'all haven't seen it, just like a little dark black girl, just a regular dark black girl. She's, all this shit she's talking is just completely delusional, okay?
Americans are here. I'm here. White people act and think just way more mature than African Americans. Black people, they think in a criminal way. When I think about African Americans, I feel like asking them, what is wrong with them? They're really dangerous. If an African American is on the same street as I am, I'll cross the street to avoid their chaotic, thuggish ways.
Are you okay?
I'm irritated.
I'm sorry.
I just know that I'm white. I mean, she might not know that I'm white, but I know that I'm white. I can feel it through my veins. I feel it through my veins.
And let me say this. Let me, because some people are like, is this shit real? Is this shit staged? Well, one thing I will say, keep your eye on Dr. Phil's ass, all right? Some of this is real. I believe some of this is real. But they're putting extras on it. Some of it is real, but all that chaotic, thuggish ways, that sound like some shit somebody, a writer, wrote for them. Now, understand, do I believe, her and her mama are double coons, but some of this shit is something that the writers from Dr. Phil has helped them with. So I won't, we're going to have to look at Dr. Phil real funny style. We're looking at you, Dr. Phil. See, y'all prop these black folks up and have them say all the dirty shit about black folks for you while y'all sit back and act confused and concerned as if you're trying to help. But Dr. Phil, we're watching your little bald-headed ass. Because all of this stuff they were saying, this is real dangerous to put on the air, Dr. Phil. We're watching you to have a black kid hide, you hide your racism behind this kid. Some of this shit was real extra. You understand? Some of this shit was real extra because y'all wouldn't put nobody on TV saying that about white people. You wouldn't put them saying white people ain't shit. White people are a bunch of devils. They eat mayonnaise and they smell like wet dogs and they live in trailers and they smoke meth. Y'all cut that shit short. If there was a white girl saying that about white people, y'all would cut that short. But y'all let this girl and helped her run amok with every derogatory thing about black society y'all can come up with. So we're watching you, Dr. Phil, with your bald-headed ass. You ain't slick, Dr. Phil. I'm looking at you, and you look like a suspected white supremacist for having this type of shit on TV. So we're looking at you, Dr. Phil. You ain't off the hook, buddy. You ain't off the hook. And we're going to deal with her in a second, but we're dealing with you too, nigga. You ain't off the hook, Dr. Phil. So we're going to put you on that suspected white supremacist list, buddy, for having that on the air. They were going real extra on black folks, and you gave it a green light. So you ain't slick, Dr. Phil. We're watching you, all right? Let me just say that off the rip. We're watching you, buddy. But let me play the rest of this girl.
I tell my mom I'll never be like any of those Negroes. My mom tries to criticize me about my supposed race. I tell her she's just ignorant. There's nothing wrong with my views or beliefs because I have freedom of speech and everything I'm saying is true.
Okay, Treasure, how are you this morning?
Okay, so then he comes in, Dr. Phil. Oh, why'd you say all that? That's just wrong. Oh, you stop that, Dr. Phil. We're watching you, buddy. We watching you. They're real good at doing that. You know, Dr. Drew is good at doing that, too. And I've been on Dr. Drew's show. You watch out for these suspected white supremacists with that concern trolling, with that fake concern. Dr. Drew was very good at that. I would be on Dr. Drew's show, and he'll put me on there and put some white supremacists on there to talk all this bullshit and have these white supremacists say all that shit, and I'd be lighting them up. And then Dr. Drew say, oh, okay, guys, let's just say, let's look at solutions, guys. What should we do as a solution with the police brutality? What should we do as a solution? I'm innocent. What should we do? I said, well, Dr. Drew, one thing we could do is start locking up these race soldiers. What else can we do? He changed the subject on my ass when I start giving some real solutions. Oh, he started changing the subject. When I say that, boy, punishing people, putting them in jail. Oh, punishing white people. Oh, let's go to a commercial. Oh, let's cut to a Popeye's chicken commercial. Shit, we need some cooning up here. You understand? But this girl Treasure talking all this greasy shit about black people that they allowed. They allowed her to get on TV to talk real greasy about black folks. I want y'all to hear something from her mom, because they did a segment with her mother. And I want you to listen to the mom, because again, even though Dr. Phil's crew, they scripted a lot of the stuff, all the derogatory insults about black people, that's something that somebody helped her with. The writers helped her with all that shit. But I believe that the mom is a genuine bedwench and that girl is a baby coon. Because listen to her mother. Now listen to this. This is very interesting. Hold on.
Your husband passed away.
Yes.
And when was this?
In 06.
Uh-huh. I'm very sorry for your loss, by the way. I know it's been a while, but it never gets easier.
No.
Okay, now the husband she's talking about, this is the little black girl's stepdad, all right? This is the black mom they're talking to, and the little girl's stepdad died about 6 years ago.
I know. And he was Caucasian,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
And you allowed your children to believe that he was their biological father.
Yes, I did.
Okay. So the mama is a damn bed wench. She was married to this old suspected white supremacist. They flashed a picture of the guy, the stepdad. He's an old white guy because this looks like she looks relatively young. She's probably in her early 40s or something. So this looked like an old white trick she caught. So now we seeing where all this shit's coming from. Now we're seeing where all of this is coming from. So she had an old white zaddy who she told the kids that that was their real dad. So now the little girl growing up thinking that she has a real white dad.
He was their biological father.
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because he was the only father figure that I had for my children.
When he passed, you decided to tell them the truth.
Yes. I wanted them to understand that they were African American. In fact, as opposed to thinking they were mixed race children.
Right.
And it wouldn't hurt anybody because my husband was no longer alive. So.
And they were in shock, right?
Yes, particularly Treasure. She took the information so hard.
You think that's a triggering event?
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
She has full belief that she has a Caucasian father.
Right.
And so she associates that with a certain lifestyle.
Okay, that's enough of that. So now you see the bed wench mammy had an old white trick who she didn't know how to finesse. And so she's telling her biological children that this white trick she caught was their real dad. He's some old sugar daddy trick that this fool didn't know how to work. And that's why some hoes need pimps. That right there is the reason why some hoes need pimps. She caught a trick and didn't know how to work them. She didn't know how to finesse them. You don't bring your kids around the damn trick and have the trick raising your kids because he treated you like a hoe. When he died, notice he didn't leave her nothing. She had to move back to the hood. That's why I told y'all to remember that shit she said about having to leave her affluent neighborhood to go back to a black ghetto and all that old shit. Notice when y'all be getting with these zaddies, zaddies don't never chip y'all off on nothing. When they leave, they don't never leave you nothing. They treated you like a trick ass hoe. Y'all get with these old zaddies and think, oh, I'm about to get some money. I'm about to wait this nigga out until he dies. He die and leave all his money to his grown white kids. That trick didn't leave y'all with nothing. You did all that hoeing for nothing. You were a live-in hoe who didn't know how to finesse a trick. You got tricked by the trick. Dumbass. Hoes need pimps. You done finesse yourself thinking you got you a white zaddy. You got it made. You can get out the game and you can bring your kids around the damn trick. And he done trick you and your family and then got your kid. And where you think that little girl got all that anti-black shit from? She got it from white daddy. Can you imagine what that old white supremacist was telling that black child? That's where they get all that shit from. These white supremacists be raising these black kids and they terrorize them psychologically. They get these black kids and they molest them and terrorize them psychologically. Look at some of these Negroes adopted by suspected white supremacists. They grow up fucked up. That suspected white supremacist was telling that black girl all types of shit. That's why some of that shit is real. She's talking. Some of that shit is real. The way she feel about other black folks, that's real. I believe that. Hell, look at The Root. Look at Ebony. It's full of niggas like that grown who act like that towards black society. Where you think it come from? People think it's fake because she's honest. See, she doesn't know how to filter her bullshit yet, this little girl. She don't know how to frame it into different narratives like these grown bed wenches do. She don't know how to say, well, I'm a feminist. I'm a shea butter feminist. I'm all lives matter. She don't know how to frame and codify her bullshit. But these bedwinch mammies bring their children around their white tricks, and their white trick sugar daddies indoctrinate these children so that they can go amongst black society and undermine us and cause ruckus and run amok. That girl, the shit she's talking, what's the difference between her and the writers at The Root, Ebony and Madame Noir? What's the difference between the shit she says? What the hell is the difference? She's a bedwinch waiting to happen. That girl can't wait to grow up and get her a damn zaddy so they can give her a job at some black publication so she can start undermining black society. See, we got to start catching that young. We got to start catching these people when they're being formed. You understand? This is why we don't get nowhere. We could have defeated white supremacy a long time ago, but this is the shit that we have lurking around black society. What are we going to do with them? These people can't wait to find a zaddy so that they can undermine us. These people can't wait to get up under some white balls so they can shit on the rest of black society. People think that this girl is fake. She ain't faking. Some of the shit she was saying, yeah, it was written by the producers, but the way she feels, that ain't fake. You got Fraudanista Jones, Jamila Lemieux, Candace Owens. Nigga, this is the Candace Owens Lifetime story right here. She sounds just like her. So we got to understand and recognize the enemy within. We got a major bedwinch problem. We got a major bedwinch problem. And the reason why we got a bedwinch problem is because we're not regulating. We're not creating industries within black society to reward and punish people for going against the whole group. We don't have anything to offer anybody as a whole. So the white supremacists, they got all types of incentives to turn people into bedwinches. So people are going to go where the benefits are. Do you understand? So we got to get on top of our game. We got to start building these institutions so that we can punish and reward the people who are on this bedwinch coon mammy shit. Because this thing is getting heavy. These people are getting with straight up white supremacists. And they're creating children that's going to decimate black society. We got to really, really step it up, family. Anyway, man, that's today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. All my Atlanta folks, all my people in the South, we got a lot of people in the room right now. Everybody, number one, subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Everybody hit that subscribe button right now. Everybody hit the like button right now. If you're listening to me, hit that like button right now. Let me take a call before I go. The phone lines have been off the chain. Let me take one call before I go. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Tariq, what's up, man? This is Jay from Chicago. I got a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
So my son, he's 10 years old. I got three boys, man. We in Chicago. So he watched a lot of your stuff with me, right? So it seems like now he basically just don't even like white people at all.
Oh, damn.
Should I kind of try to find the balance, or should I just let him rock out and find his own balance?
Well, he can find his own balance because, you know, I never say don't like any group of people or whatever, but I point out systematic white supremacy. And, you know, your right. son, he can find his own balance, you know, because that's probably based
right.
on
you
some
know,
experience. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, but at 10, when he watches it, he look at it as, oh, all white people bad. So I kind of ain't really say nothing yet. But, you know, that was just my question, though. Should I kind of like, but I don't want to steer him away from it and make him like, okay, maybe I should be in love with white people and all that, you know?
Right. But, you know, that's probably some of the stuff is based on his experiences, too. Because, you know, I've never said all white people are bad. So he's probably had some experiences at school or something that made him say, hey, damn, this reminded me of my fucked up teacher. You know what I'm saying? So he might have had some experience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you got to talk to him about his experiences and see what's
oh,
popping.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
him.
Do. Like they'll start stuff with him, and then they'll run to the teacher and tell on him.
Yeah.
He don't tell, because I tell him, don't be a snitch. They'll run and tell on him after they start stuff with him.
Yeah, so he's experiencing little white supremacists at his school, see? That's what it is. So, you know, and when I'm talking, it's starting to make sense. So he should be on alert. He should suspect certain people of being white supremacists. So just to be safe, that's what we need to do at this point, because nobody's pointing them out to us. So, you know, we got to use our own decorum to assume who may or may not be a white supremacist. But thank you for the call, brother. Thank you so much. All right. That's my man. Was he in Chicago? Shout out to that brother in Chicago. Everybody hit that like button. Everybody's listening, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Everybody hit that red button. Hit that red button. And again, we need to bring up some of these young sisters. We need to get some young, attractive sisters who are woke and have them break that game down. If we had some, let me tell you something. If we had like a real fine, young, woke sister out there breaking the game down, that would influence so many other sisters, young women. If we had like a, I'm talking about fine, who looks like them Instagram models, but was spitting some real shit. If we had that, a woman in her mid-20s spitting some real hot fire, who's very attractive, that would be extremely influential to a lot of young girls out there. See, the thing is, when they see young, other young women in the spotlight, who they see? Cardi B. You know, they see women being ratchet. You know, that's what they see. You understand? But that's what we need. That's exactly what we need. But again, everybody, y'all go to the profile, hit that Patreon button. Y'all see the Patreon link right there. Also, everybody, get your tickets to join Mink Slide live in Atlanta. We're going to have a good time December 22nd. Join me. We're going to have a Mink Slide party in Atlanta. We're going to have a great time. Great music, great energy, great vibes, ladies and gentlemen. Join us in Atlanta, December 22nd. Get your tickets right now while you're listening to the playback. Get your tickets right now to see Mink Slide at minkslide.com. We will be in Atlanta. If you are anywhere in the country, fly into Atlanta to see us do our thing. We're going to make it pop off. Get our album, Egyptian Musk, at minkslide.com. I'ma holla. Y'all be good.